I was thinking, what does a child see during this season? And I don't mean as a believer, but just as a child. Santa Claus and the sleigh and the reindeer magically landing on the top of a house and giving gifts. Family being together and eating together and sitting in a room without fighting, but with a sense of being together and putting mistakes aside and problems and troubles and disagreements and heartache and having encouragement. And when children are sitting with their family, with mom and dad, and then added to that, the Christmas tree, which also is out of the ordinary. We bring a tree from outside into our house. We decorate it, mom and dad, or mom alone, or dad alone, depending on the family situation. Make an effort to celebrate and rejoice in the season. Then added to that is the whole idea of gifts, giving gifts. What is a gift? It's something I don't own, but it's given to me. I don't have it, but somebody else has it, and it's given to me. I receive a gift. What if the gifts were multiplied and I received two and three and four, and my brothers and sisters received two and three and four, and my mom and dad? Imagine the house filled with what? Gifts, good intentions, a good spirit, a good attitude. Why do children love Christmas? Maybe because the kingdom of God is like a child, Matthew 18, Jesus said. And children understand that life is to be filled with gifts. Something I don't earn or deserve, something given to me freely. I don't even know why. But my mom and dad have this habit where we have a tree from the outside and we have Santa Claus on the roof and we have music and we have gifts and we eat together and we sit together and we love each other. Wow. In my childhood, it was the best time of year. I had five siblings with a generous mom and dad who gave us things, and our little house was packed with excitement and activity. And I could dream like a child likes to dream. Well, then we grew up and we started to calculate how much things cost, and that trees don't belong in the living room. We don't give gifts. We look for justice. We have feelings and emotions and hurts and arguments in everyday living, like every day in the year. But on this day, it's different. It's like the kingdom of God, if somehow visit, even the world knows this. Even the world takes the effort to give gifts and be kind and celebrate and love and care and listen and not argue, but somehow like believe. And it's kind of like I'm using a non-spiritual word, like this word And I'm talking like in a worldly way, maybe, but a real true thing that the world recognizes this holiday is different. What I want to say tonight is simple, and it is, if you could think about it, really, in Psalm 145, listen to this, it says, the eyes of all living things wait upon God, and you give them their meat in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. It says in Psalm 33, verse 5, that the goodness of God is everywhere. It says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. That's Christmas. That he gave. What does God give? Every one of us, right today, the gift of life. Physical life, breath, and food. And he opens his hand and he gives us gifts every day, all the time. He gives us gifts and he visits us all the time. But somehow, people, because of nature and our sin, we lose the magic of what it means to be alive. We lose the whole sense of grace, and we become tough people, and we become people that are unthankful and don't realize our eyes are blinded, but that all of the gifts that God gives to us continually that abound toward us are constant and they never stop. When Jesus came, he was amazed at the unbelief. I had a message in Hungary and from Matthew chapter 8, and I'd like to have you turn there with me. And I want you to see something. I don't want to be too long tonight, but I'd like you to see this story in Matthew 8 in verse 28. I arrived last night from Hungary, flew over the ocean again, all the time, considering what a gift it is to be able to go there. I was there 5 days. We had an amazing time together, and then to come back and know I'm part of you, part of the body, part of the work of God, is such an honor what we are part of. And look at the story, please. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. When he was come to the other side into the country, the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. I want to draw a map for you of Israel, where we're located here, Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. The Gergesenes is this area over here on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. I wanted you to see that because that's a geographical area that I would like you to think about as being very much like the world that we live in. This is the world. And I want to put down four things about it. Two men possessed of the devil. So I'll put there, the devil is in the country. He's in the country in such a way that some people cannot go to where those two possessed men are living. The two possessed men were very fierce, and they had a territory, and people couldn't go through there which means that there are areas in the world where people are prohibited from going, that if you went there, it's not safe. That if you go into that part of the area, there are two demonic men that are preventing people from going, meaning there's not liberty or freedom in that area. Next verse. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? So I'll put down here, no, Jesus. You are not welcome, Jesus. What do we have to do with you? We have nothing to do with you. That's kind of like Christmas without Jesus. That's like a Christianity without Jesus. He's at the Church of Laodicea knocking on the door. No, Jesus, that's like the world. I'll take anything you believe, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Islam, a Christian, but make sure that Jesus does not come because he is not welcome in the world. Next one, verse 30. There was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So I want to put down the word here, swine. Pigs. And then under it, I'll put down the word money. Because the pigs represented money. How many pigs were there in the story? About 2,000. A huge amount of money is represented by these 2,000 pigs. In the world we live in, there's a lot that is connected with money. There's power connected with money. There's sex connected with money. Entertainment connected with money. Business connected with money. No, Jesus, we've got our business. We've got our pigs. We've got our money. No, Jesus, you're not welcome here. Next one. So the devils besought him, if you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. When they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. Behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. I'll put down the word here, loss. Do you see? In the world, there's a lot of loss. There's lost souls, lost lives, lost decisions, lost Garden of Eden is lost, lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. There's a lot lost, lost opportunity, lost family, lost freedom. There's loss of power, a loss of wisdom, a loss of decision making. There's a lot that is lost in this world. And you know what happens in the story? Jesus, who came over here, is told to go away, and he goes away. He went. Why did he go? To set those two men free. To cast the demons out of the two men. Now I'm thinking that we are in a time in our lives where we cannot afford to be anything other than dead serious with Jesus Christ. I believe that there's no other time that we should be living more seriously than we are today. I believe we are saying, Lord Jesus, come into our area. May come into our area and do whatever you please. Because if I lose something and you are there, that's okay. If I lose a swine, that's okay, as long as I've got you. Because you're the answer. I need you. I want you in my life. They said, leave us, Jesus. Let's read the verse. It says, verse The verse 33 and 34. And they that kept them fled, went their ways into the city, and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. I want to put down here, they fled. There are people that run away from reality. They're afraid. I was reading that about Saul and David. It says, when Saul saw, he saw David's wisdom, he feared him. I believe that about us. I'm serious about this. I believe that about us, that actually the devil can discern the power that we have as God's people. I believe that he can recognize the love and the wisdom and the spirit that we have. It's kind of like Jesus looks into the tree for fruit. In a way, maybe the devil can look into the tree and he can see that there is something there that I cannot touch it. There's Christ is there. I cannot touch it. I believe that the world recognizes, and I believe it in our own hearts, that you know when the Spirit speaks to you. You can discern the voice. I read a great verse. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5. It goes like this. It says, now we know that you are a God that talks to men and they do not die. Wow. I read that one night in Hungary. You are a God, it's Deuteronomy chapter 5, I think verse 14, I don't remember. But you are a God that speaks to men and they do not die. Amen. Wow. The next verse says, behold, verse 34, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. So there we have that arrow going this way. They said, leave us, and he did. And he got in his boat, and he came back. He went back to where he came from. And we know that our world is so overwhelming. Our spiritual life is so overwhelming to the world that we live in that they are afraid of us. They're, leave us. We don't know who you are. You're right wing, fundamental. You're radical. You're nuts. You're crazy. Leave us. But this is like missions. Missions is beautiful. Missions is going right where the devil is living and saying, Jesus is here and he loves you. And you know, those two men that were liberated from the demons, he sent them back home, and you know, they went back home, and then later, when Jesus came back, sometime later, it says they were waiting for him. That's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. They were waiting for him to come back. They wanted him to come back, and I believe that happens in the work of God, and God's work is many sides to God's work. Don't underestimate the work. Let me give an example. When the wise men came to the baby, what did they see? A baby. The baby was there. Did that baby do any miracles? No. Did he say any words? Did he give a message? Was he a powerful preacher? Was he a miracle worker? Did he walk on water? No. He was a baby. He had said nothing. He had done nothing. Why did they say that he is the Christ? Why did they kneel down and worship him, the baby? Why did they do it? No one can explain that. But Simeon knew it. Anna knew it. The centurion soldier who watched his crucifixion, he stopped. And he said, truly, this is the Son of God. When Christ is on the cross, not doing a miracle, not preaching a message, but he knew it. And the same with us. I believe there are things that we do. that we don't know anything about. I believe that there are things that people can see that we could never explain. I believe there's an anointing of God upon us as God's people that is a gift of God that is given to this world to make a statement that my son has been raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand. He is living forevermore. And he gives to whoever seeks him eternal life. And he will have bread and never hunger and water and never thirst. For this is spiritual bread and water. So when we look at the holiday, I want you to look at it, not just this one, but to say, you know that movie, what was it? This is a Wonderful Life, or It Was a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart in it. And I think, you know that popular Christmas movie. And the thing that we loved about that movie is that the angel said to him that, what was his name? I forget his name. Yeah, the angel is Clarence, and then Jimmy Stewart's name was George Bailey. George Bailey, George, you've been made for a certain reason. George, you've got a purpose in you. Yeah, heaven, there's something going on here that you don't know about. And you know, this is a holiday when people need hope and they need a message and they need to be told. And not only during the holiday, but through the whole year. And no, through the 10 years that we live or the decade and decades that we live. Because the world is suffering just like this area. Yeah, they have demonic men. And you're not allowed, you cannot get through them. They are so fierce. Yes, they do not have Jesus. Yeah, they have pigs and they have money. But they have loss and heartache and they fear. But when Christ comes into the picture, he is saying to these men, go tell your families what I have done for you. And that is our message in this world. And if I don't have Christ, I have nothing. If I don't have Christ, I have my sin. If I don't have Christ, I have loss. If I don't have Christ, I have demons, and I accept it. The funny thing about that part of the country was they accepted this as normal. And that's sad. Fear is not normal. Ask a child. You know, stealing things. I read an article in a British newspaper. How much is stolen out of 5-star hotels? They said televisions, cutlery, glassware, even mattresses. And it said that they will go take a mattress down the lift to the bottom garage and put the mattress, and steal a mattress out of a hotel. The world is stealing. The world is lost. The world is crying. The world is suffering. The world is empty. The world is taking, taking, taking. Ask a child if you want to find out what should be normal. They will say, no, it's to give. It's for mom and dad to give. It's to love. It's to have magic. It's to believe in angels. It's to believe in Jesus. No, what's normal is to be receiving and giving. What is normal is to receive and to forgive. What is normal is to sing a song and kiss with each other with affection and love. No, love, God made the world to be a world of gifts. And giving every day. God made the world and he gave his son so that we would have that which would not pass away. We would have Christ and his mind and his wisdom and his love. The world says no and they'll never learn the lesson because they don't have the spirit of Jesus. But God says, yes, I love you. I heard a thing from Pastor Stevens today in a message. It was interesting. He said, when you are tempted, like God loves you. And when you sin, like he's an enemy. And when you sin, he immediately is your friend. I thought about that. When I sin, God is against my sin, and he's my, in a sense, he's my enemy. But when I sin, it doesn't change the fact that he is my friend, and he loves me. He gives me grace. Have you sinned? You have the God of all grace. Have you failed? He is the God that visits you in the demonic territory. Is he the deliverer? He is the Savior. Is he the resurrected one? He is the eternal one. Is he the answer for every troubled heart? Absolutely. It is Christmas time. God gave his Son so that we would have this eternal life that would never pass away. He doesn't love our, he hates our sin, but he loves us, and he's a friend of publicans and sinners. You know what I mean. I don't need to balance it, I think. Okay, would you pray with me? Father, we want also to be amazed at your gift. What greater gift could you give than your care for the Jewish people? For centuries and millennium and millennium, your care. I have not seen iniquity in Jacob or perverseness in Israel. I cannot find any iniquity in these people. I have loved them with an everlasting love. I have given them my Son. I have given to all the people of the world my Son. He is different from every other person. He is different from the spirit of the world, the ways of the world, the mind of the world. He is the Christ, the Savior of the world. We are thirsty for him. We love him. Father, please bring him into every house. Please anoint every bedroom. Anoint every kitchen, every living room. Anoint us in our cars when we go to and fro. Anoint us with our words and our hearts. Refresh us, Lord. And minister to us. Speak to us. Bless the children with their dreams, their love, their freedom, their joy, their singing. They are hungry for it. They love it. And so do we. On a spiritual level, God, we have it every day, all the time, for you gave us your Son. May we be as mature as Jesus Christ was when he went into this Gergesene area and was not afraid. But he brought deliverance as a missionary, that Christ was a missionary. He went into the demonic territory to change it. We have been sent into the world, not to be like the world, but to have a message and a spirit that is different from the world. Lord, because the demons just caused the world to lose its pigs, the demons are destroying the world. They are affecting the world. But Jesus is saving the world. He is the Savior of the world. Anyone hearing my voice, please come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus as you are. Come to Jesus just as you are. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus by faith. Come to Jesus and believe in him. Come to Jesus just like the babe in Bethlehem. Come to Jesus just as you are and believe in him, and he saves you. You're born again, born of the Spirit, and the Spirit will lead you and teach you and show you and teach you who you are in Jesus' name. Anyone, please raise your hand. Anyone tonight here saying the prayer of faith. Anyone, you are a child of God, a newborn child of God. Repent of your sin. Turn from your ways and believe in Jesus Christ. Anyone tonight, please raise your hand. Yes to Jesus. anyone. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen.